everyone, and welcome back. Let's dive into some fascinating financial results today. Necar ASA just released their Q2 and first half 2024 numbers, and we're breaking it all down.
Yeah.
We're talking ocean innovation here, folks.
Absolutely.
From supporting shipyards to revolutionizing aquaculture and even, you know, venturing into the world of ocean robots.
Mm-hmm.
This is way cooler than your typical dry earnings report. Trust me.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. What's fascinating about Necar is they're not just, you know, crunching numbers. They're really riding a wave of growth in these ocean-based industries. And they're actually, we're talking about a company that's more than doubled their quarterly revenue in just a year.
Really?
Going from about 100 million NOK to over 200 million NOK.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, hitting the turbo button on growth, that definitely got my attention. But you're right, they're not some like new kid on the block. They've got this interesting mix of well-established businesses.
Right.
And what they call impact tech ventures. What's the story there?
Yeah. So impact tech might sound a little bit like, you know, buzzy jargon, but it's actually pretty straightforward. These are ventures that are specifically designed to kind of like tackle these big challenges that we're facing.
Okay.
Particularly making ocean industries more sustainable. And I think what's impressive about Necar is they're managing this balance between these stable, you know, money-making businesses.
Yeah.
But they're also pouring resources into these cutting-edge technologies that have this huge potential for the future.
Right.
So they're kind of, it allows them to play the long game, right? They can invest in innovation while also keeping the lights on with their, you know, core operations.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm starting to see why these financial results are so interesting. It's not just about the numbers themselves. It's about what they kind of tell us about Necar's overall strategy and like where they're headed.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that revenue growth a little bit more. They're clearly doing something right.
They are. But I think it's really important to look, you know, beyond just those kind of headline numbers. Mm-hmm. For example, their Takano Ocean Lift project, which is developing this like really cool new system for installing offshore wind turbines, that's showing some really promising revenue growth.
Interesting.
But because it's still in these relatively early stages,
yeah,
the profit margins aren't as high as some of their more established operations.
I see. So they're making a calculated trade-off.
Exactly.
Accepting lower profits now to potentially like grab a larger share of this booming offshore wind market in the future.
Yeah, you got it. It's a classic example of playing the long game.
Right.
And I think what gives them the flexibility to make these kinds of strategic moves is their incredibly strong financial position.
Okay.
They're sitting on a cash pile of 227 million NOK.
Wow.
And get this, they have zero debt.
Okay, I have to admit, just hearing that a company is like, you know, swimming in cash and debt-free, it's pretty impressive. But for someone like me who doesn't necessarily speak fluent finance, what does that actually mean for their strategy?
It's huge. I mean, think of it this way. Most companies out there, especially with ambitious growth plans, they have to take on debt to kind of fuel that growth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like taking out a loan to buy a bigger house, right?
Right.
Necar, on the other hand, they have the financial freedom.
Okay.
To invest in new technologies, to make strategic acquisitions, and even just to like weather economic storms without being crippled by these debt repayments.
Right, right.
And that's a really significant advantage in a competitive landscape, you know?
Yeah, it's like they've got a safety net, but instead of just using it for safety, they can use it to launch themselves even further.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. But even with all this positive momentum, their order backlog, and I'll admit, I had to look that one up. Chuckles.
Did shrink a bit this quarter.
Right.
Right. Should we be hitting the panic button?
No, not at all.
Okay.
This is where I think we need to like dig a little deeper and understand the nuances of their different businesses.
So the order backlog, it's essentially like a measure of future revenue, right?
Okay.
And the dip is mainly due to their Syncrolift business.
Right.
So for listeners who aren't familiar, they specialize in these massive ship lifts for shipyards. And while they haven't secured, you know, any major new contracts this quarter, there's a really important caveat here. Tender activity remains exceptionally high.
Okay, so there's a difference between a lack of demand,
yeah,
and a delay in those contracts getting finalized.
Exactly.
It sounds like there's still a strong appetite out there for what Syncrolift is offering.
Precisely, yeah. Think of it like waiting for, you know, a big wave to break. You know it's coming.
Right.
You just have to be patient.
Okay.
But there are a few factors at play here, though.
Like what? Fill me in.
Well, geopolitical uncertainty is making some Navy yards, which are big customers for Syncrolift, a bit hesitant to commit to these large projects.
I see.
And in fact, Necker even mentioned that Syncrolift recently lost a tender for what they suspect might be strategic or political reasons.
So even in the world of like massive ship lifts, geopolitics can really throw a wrench in the gears. It's a good reminder that business isn't just about numbers.
Right.
It's about navigating a really complex world.
Absolutely. But I think the key takeaway here with Syncrolift is that it's not a demand problem.
Okay.
It's more of a timing issue.
I see.
The demand is there. It's just that those big contracts might take a little bit longer to materialize.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. Like you were saying, it's like waiting for the wave to break.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know it's coming. Just got to be patient.
Yeah.
But speaking of exciting developments, let's dive into Netcar's acquisition of GlobeTech.
Yeah.
This wasn't just like, you know, a toe dip into the world of maritime IT. It seems like they went all in with this one. What's the big deal with this move?
Well, it's a strategic play with like really huge potential. Mm. You see, GlobeTech isn't some unproven startup. They've actually been a key player in maritime IT for over a decade, providing essential IT infrastructure, connectivity solutions, cybersecurity services to, you know, ship owners and management companies.
Okay.
And they've got a strong track record, they've got a loyal customer base, and they're already profitable.
So in a world where everything is like, you know, becoming more digital, more interconnected, GlobeTech is making sure that even ships out on the ocean stay, you know, connected and secure.
Exactly. And it's a market that's only going to grow as the maritime industry, you know, really embraces digitalization and automation.
Right.
I mean, think about it. Ships are becoming like these floating data centers.
That's true.
And they need these really reliable, secure IT systems to operate efficiently and safely. Right. And Netcar clearly sees this trend. And they're really positioning themselves at the forefront of it.
It's like they're, you know, future-proofing themselves, making sure they're not left behind as the world goes digital, even on the high seas. This deep dive is really opening my eyes to, like, how much innovation is happening in these ocean industries. And speaking of innovation, let's talk about FizzK a little bit, that aquaculture technology company that Netcar invested in.
Yeah, yeah.
They were focused on, like, closed cage systems for fish farming, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's that whole thing playing out?
They've made some really, I think, interesting moves, and I'm actually quite impressed with how they're strategically streamlining their operations.
Okay.
So essentially, they've doubled down on their core strength, which is really those closed and semi-closed systems for fish farming.
Okay.
And this is a big deal because, you know, those traditional, like, open net fish farms, they face these growing concerns about fish welfare, their environmental impact, disease outbreaks.
Yeah, definitely.
And FizzK's technology directly addresses those concerns by creating this much more like controlled and sustainable environment for raising fish.
So they're not just like riding a technological wave here. They're also riding a wave of like consumer demand for more sustainable, more ethically produced food. Exactly.
It's like their whole business model is built for where the market is heading.
You got it. Yeah.
And it seems like to further sharpen their focus, they've actually divested, which means they've sold off, right, some of their non-core business units.
They have, yeah.
For example, they sold FizzK Digital to Bluefront Equity, and they're in the process of selling FizzK Protection to Hampagene Group.
Mm-hmm.
This allows them to channel all their resources and expertise into those closed cage systems where they really have that competitive edge.
Yeah. Smart move.
It's like they're trimming the fat and building like a lean, mean fish farming machine.
Yeah. It's a classic example of that strategic streamlining.
Right.
And they've also, you know, to kind of top it off, they've brought in a new CEO, Jan-Erik Finchdal, who has a fantastic reputation in the aquaculture industry.
Oh, wow.
So all of this suggests to me that, you know, Netcar really saw the potential in FizzK. They made a strategic investment, and it looks like that gamble is starting to pay off. It's exciting to see a company that's willing to like take these calculated risks and really support innovative solutions to, you know, these big challenges that we're facing.
Definitely.
But it sounds like this was more than just like throwing money at a problem.
Oh yeah.
They're really making these smart decisions,
mm-hmm.
supporting a team that they believe in, mm-hmm. and focusing on these technologies with the potential to like really disrupt an entire industry. It's really inspiring to see how Netcar is kind of like, you know, shaping the future of these almond industries. But this deep dive hasn't just been about one company, has it?
No, not at all.
It's really given us a glimpse into some much bigger trends that are shaping the world, right?
Absolutely. I think Netcar's story is like a really good example, almost like a microcosm of what's happening on this global scale.
Yeah.
We're seeing this surge in these sustainable ocean industries, driven by everything from climate change to, you know, just consumer demand for more eco-friendly products.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you have digitalization that's transforming these, like, you know, traditional industries like never before. And I think what's really interesting is how Neckar is embracing both of these trends.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just trying to keep up. They're actually positioning themselves to lead the way.
It's like they're riding multiple waves of change, and they're doing it with this like really impressive balance of financial stability, but then also a willingness to take those calculated risks.
Yeah.
It's a powerful combination.
It is, and it speaks to this broader trend, right? I mean, companies are really needing to find that sweet spot between innovation and, you know, financial prudence.
Right.
It's not enough to just have like, you know, groundbreaking ideas.
Yeah.
You need the resources and the strategic vision to actually bring those to market successfully.
Right. And that brings us to like the million-dollar question, doesn't it? Neckar is betting big on their ability to kind of drive innovation in ocean technology.
Yeah.
Will this gamble pay off in the long run? What are your thoughts?
Well, that's the question on everyone's mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I, honestly, there's no crystal ball here. The future is full of unknowns. Mm. But, you know, Neckar is making these bold moves. They're investing heavily in technologies that could really revolutionize everything from, you know, offshore energy to sustainable food production, like we talked about. And they're attracting top talent. They're building strategic partnerships. And they've got, you know, like we said, a pretty strong track record of bringing these innovative products to market.
But I mean, as we've kind of seen, even with the best planning and, you know, the best intentions, there are always those external factors that can influence a company's trajectory.
Of course. Yeah. Global markets can shift. New technologies can emerge. Regulations can change. You know, Neckar, like any company in this space, will need to be agile and adapt to those changes.
Right.
But I think what's exciting is they've really positioned themselves at the forefront of these like rapidly evolving industries.
So what you're saying is, while there are no guarantees, Neckar's kind of playing this high stakes game, but it seems like they've got a pretty strong hand.
Yeah, I would say so.
This deep dive has been great. It's given us, or at least me, the insights to understand the rules of the game a little bit better, the players involved, and then also like the potential rewards.
Exactly.
It's really interesting stuff.
It's a fascinating industry to watch.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up another deep dive for us. Thanks again for joining, and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode where we'll be, you know, exploring another fascinating topic. And until then, you know, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep asking those insightful questions.